Hour number three, Out of Bounds on a Tiger Tuesday. Glad to have you here. William Quagabus, Ben Milstead, Sam Jones spinning his back in the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Darren and Pickens are coming to you here in just a second. First, let me tell you about Tiger Moving Company. You know, Dabo had a message for fans who wanted to pack today. And you know what? If they were successful, then he'd probably call Tiger Moving. Because they do a great, great job. TigerMovingGreenville.com, TigerMoving@gmail.com. They are great. Like, Eric McElhane's face on a truck that's, like, taking the heaviest piece of furniture you have, that's just a representation of what physical Eric McElhane would be doing. I mean, it just is. All their trucks are named after former Clemson greats. You know them, you love them. If you've had any experience with them, then you know what I'm saying is true. You're not getting any better service, no better pricing, no better everything than with Tiger Moving Company. Start the process with an email right now, tigermoving@gmail.com. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to join us on the phones or on the Adams Gorfing text line. Darren and Pickens joins us next here on the program. What's up, Darren?
Hey, guys. I happened to listen to Sweeney's press conference this morning, and I don't normally get to do that, but had a long drive, so I was listening, and I was, you know, quite impressed with how he spoke and the things he said. And I, you know, the one thing that stood out to me, well, there was a couple of things, but one thing in particular was, you know, you got to understand that Clemson has, what he said, you've won nine. At least you've won 10 more games in the last 14 years, and only once in that 14 years you've won nine. So, I mean, I think any athletic director, what he said, would be very, very pleased to sign up for that kind of tenure. And you go to South Carolina, what have they won? Nine games, maybe twice in that 14 years? Something like that.
A couple times, three times, yeah.
Couple of times. So look at what he said about, hey, we're going to be fine. He said, yeah, we might go 6-6, but I doubt it. I don't think so. But, I mean, they always push through. They always find a way. They've struggled many times during those years, and they've always come through. And it's not always the result you want for winning a national championship or something like that, but they always come through. And here I am, a Carolina fan, talking about this stuff. but it's true.
You know, you're right about that. I will say I've not watched. I'm interested to watch Shane Beamer's. I normally go in on Wednesday mornings, and I'll watch Shane Beamer's press conference to see the tenor and tone that he takes. This week, I can imagine there's a lot of negativity in his building, and there's a lot of uncertainty in his building. He doesn't have the luxury of Dabo of going. I mean, it would just be a shorter story. The oral history of his tenure at South Carolina would just be shorter. But I think he probably will exude some confidence. I really do.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's just what I wanted to say. I was like, okay, I know it's frustrating, you know. I mean, but Clemson fans don't typically feel what the South Carolina fans feel like over the last 14 years. You know, it's just struggle year after year after year with a little bit of success here and there. And so, I mean, be thankful is what I say.
Now that's 100% right. I appreciate the phone call, Darren. Thanks very much. You know, on that note, it's hard for me not to notice, like, this was a season with, whether they were fair or not, we'll likely know in the aftermath, okay? This was a season with national championship aspirations. And the two closest parallels, as Dabo Swinney gave his oral history, I could not help but notice, were 2010 and 2014, which 2010 was a 6-7 season, even to the point that he said, he's talking about Dustin Hopkins at Florida State, makes a kick from 70, and he looks at Tim, and he goes, it was long. And Tim goes, it was exactly the same distance as Saturday. And I thought, well, that's a little too on the nose. Don't love that. And then 2014, where they started 1-2, and they faced two good teams. He faced number one Florida State without their starting quarterback, which I would argue probably a parallel to Georgia Tech. You started with a tough opener against Georgia. And the difference that year is that there was hope in the form of your young quarterback. There was, like, in 2010, there wasn't a lot of hope, but then you made a bunch of staff changes and you got some people in here and it worked. In 2014, the hope was in the building in the form of the quarterback. And it did it made me think about this. I'm just, again, my wheels are spinning because on our text line there were some people who were like, yeah, man, love it, love where Dabo's coming from. And there were some of y'all who absolutely hated it, who thought it was a terrible tactic to take. And it's just crazy, the divergence to me. But this is what I will say. Dabo Swinney, in the course of a season, and Ben, you may be able to correct me on this, but I could not think of any instance. Dabo Swinney has never made a change in the middle of a season out of weakness. That was a major change in his program. Now, you might change a starter somewhere, but I'm talking about like the type of change that would really wake up the fan base and go, whoa, this guy means business. He's trying to fix it right now. Dabo has always leaned into, I believed in the people that we had in our room at the start of the season, and I still believe that they're capable of doing what we need to do and having a good season. And so he's not going to change offensive coordinators, and he's not going to change quarterbacks, and he's not going to do all this stuff from a point of weakness. The two times that Dabo has changed quarterbacks in the course of a season have been out of a position of strength, arguably, where it's not that somebody has played poorly and so we just have to try whatever. You haven't seen him just give the reins over to a backup quarterback, which is what, I mean, I think some of the conversation is trending that way. He's not fired a play caller in the middle of a season or reassigned a play caller in the middle of a season out of weakness ever. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about, that Dabo Swinney was sort of reminding us today, like, your head coach is Dabo Swinney, and Dabo Swinney does things a certain way, and he has a certain set of beliefs and a certain set of viewpoints, and here's how that has worked over time, and here's why it's going to work again.
Let me ask you this, and just asking the question. A coach with a resume of Dabo Swinney, does he need to do that? Or
no.
Or could you make the argument that that is almost sort of beneath him to have to read off his resume?
Yes.
Because I tend to think that's the case. At least, and we all look at it differently. I think it can be interpreted as insecure, but Dabo Swinney is absolutely not insecure. I'm just thinking of other coaches who do that. When you start reminding of the glory days, you know, the message that sends to some people. I also, when we start talking about things that happened in the past, for me, it really doesn't matter. I mean, what happened, just pick the year. All that means is it may or may not happen again. Well, I already knew that. I mean,
right.
Whatever happened in 2014 or 15 or 20, it happened then, which means it may happen again. Well, that would be the case either way. You know, we don't know how the rest of the season's played out. I know that it has worked out in the past. But again, that doesn't mean it's going to this year. So I don't know. I just wondered why we went down that path today, and was that a necessity?
I think, you know what I actually think, and this runs contrary to some of the things that most people think and some of the things that I have thought in the past. I think when Dabo says that he doesn't know what's going on ever, like he answered that question like he's never read anything, or that's not right. But I do think he reads what people show him. I don't think he sits down and goes on the message boards and sees what people are talking about or pays a lot of attention to national conversation just generally when he's going about his day. But I do think he is sort of aware. I say that because I feel like he doesn't know right now exactly what the conversation is. I feel like I said, I think is a little bit strawman-y what he defended himself against today, and he might actually think that there are more people than there are who are disgusted with him and want to cast him aside. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I said, you know, it struck me at some point, like you said, why are we doing this? And it's almost like he's arguing with the perception that he thinks is out there in terms of the conversation, when really more people are upset at offensive coordinator and quarterback than they are with the head coach. And maybe, you know what, maybe he feels like if people are upset with the quarterback and the offensive coordinator and some of the highly paid guys on defense, then that ultimately falls on him as a head coach and it's really an extension of him. Maybe he's doing that calculation. You see what I mean? Like, this is maybe the first time it crystallized to me that, like, maybe Dabo is assuming there's a conversation that's out there and he's not totally keyed in because he's not. He's just sort of going off his perceptions of how many people said they're praying for him every, you know. He said that he had that point about people sending Bible verses and devotionals and things like that. You know, I'm trying to understand why that happened today. And I'm coming up a little bit blank.
And I'm in the same boat. Texture says, saying it's beneath him to be questioned because of resume says a lot about you. So I'd like to know what that says about me. And I'd also like to know if you understood the point I'm making there.
That nobody, wait a minute, saying it's beneath him to be questioned because of resume.
That's actually
the opposite of what you said.
And that's actually not what I said. I didn't say that you can't question him. Absolutely, you can question him. I'm saying that someone with the resume of Dabo Swinney absolutely can be questioned. For him to feel like he needs to read his resume to a media pool is beneath someone with that resume.
That's what you said.
So I think, sir, that might say more about you than it does me.
Yeah, I don't.
But I appreciate the conversation. The
comprehension.
Comments.
Listening comprehension. I also, you know, he got really passionate today at one point when he said, let me see. He was doing the whole oral history. He went into sermon, and he said, you know, we're 1-2, and we might stink. And he said, but I don't think so. And he really, like, if you weren't in the room, I don't know if it came across in terms of audio. He had a look in his eye of, like, total defiance. Like, it was not just happy-go-lucky, oh, we'll see, you know. We'll see what happened. We just got to pick it up, keep on going. You know, it wasn't like that. It was like there was a fire there that I don't know that I've ever seen at the podium. And I'm not extrapolating anything from that. I'm just telling you what happened. At the end of that whole thing, the end of that whole monologue where he's taking us down memory lane, when he says, you know, we're 1-2. Maybe we're not going to be great. Maybe we'll be a bad team. But I don't think so. And he leans in, and he makes eye contact with everybody in the room. He goes all over the room. And it was striking. It's probably bad radio to say, I don't know what to make of that, but I noticed it, and I marked it. And I do think there is an unwavering belief in Dabo Swinney that he's not wrong about his staff and his players. And I think that he thinks if they play like they have the first three games for 12 games, that he will have been wrong about his staff and players. He kept sort of bringing up that we are going to be a good team eventually because he doesn't think he was wrong about his staff and players. And if he was wrong about his staff and players, then that also means that a lot of other people were wrong about his staff and players.
I said I wasn't going to bring this up, but I am. One last time. Last time I'm going to talk about one play away. Listen, when I hear him say that, it is fingernails on a chalkboard to me. It really is. It's fingernails on a chalkboard. And I think there are a lot of fans who feel that same way. But I do have the realization that Dabo Swinney is an incredibly optimistic person. And it is a big part of who he is and why he has had the success he has had. The one play away is a byproduct of that, and we have to realize that. You have to take the bad with the good. If you think that is bad, that comes along with all the good that his optimism brings this program. And college, you know what? It's not just this program. I'd say his optimism, football in general, sports in general, developing young men in general, it all goes back to his optimism. Knowing his history and his resume beyond football, his life, if he wouldn't have been an optimistic person, he probably wouldn't be here. I mean, optimism has brought him through a lot worse things than 1-2 in the start of season. So that is going to be my approach going forward. Whether I like the way that sounds or not is not important, because that is, again, that is part of what comes along with having a coach as optimistic as Dabo Swinney. And that optimism has brought you so many more good things than bad. You would never, ever change that about him. Of all the characteristics of Dabo Swinney, that's the one thing you would not change.
That's kind of – we're on the same page on that, because I do think that there are lots of fans who want Dabo to be embodied by some other spirit of some other coach,
yeah,
and just go scorched earth at a press conference like that. And I'll be honest, I've been a little taken aback at the number of negative things that he said about players and coaches, yeah, in these press conferences this year, but he's not going all the way.
And listen, and it bothers people because I think we interpret it, and I understand this, I think we interpret that as the head coach thinks everything is okay. And that is absolutely not true. You know, I had a back and forth with somebody on the text line yesterday about, you know, they said, well, Coach Swinney's just, he's just too nice to him on the field. And it's actually the opposite.
Oh, man.
And you don't have to take my word for it, but, I mean, I've seen some of it firsthand and know people who were at practices. I would say in the last 5 years, Coach Swinney has been harder on a team than ever before. He's actually harder now, even though you're hearing more of that one play away stuff, than he was maybe a decade ago. So understand that the message that you think, the interpretation you think you're making for that in this case is just not accurate.
Before we get a break, Gamecock James, we're coming to you on the other side. Blockhaven, blockhaven.com, BLOCHaven.com. This is a great place to go rock climbing, bouldering here in the upstate. They've got classes. They've got clubs, like teams that your kids can be on. This could be a part of a workout. It could be just a fun outing for friends, with family, birthdays, whatever. They've got a deli there, so sip you a cup of coffee, have you a little bite to eat, and watch your kids play. This is a great spot. You can sort of choose your own adventure there and how you can do it. They customize the maps, 200-plus maps. They change monthly. And if you mention the Roar, you get 20% off your first day pass at Blockhaven, BLOCHaven.com. Stay with us. More on the Tiger Tuesday coming up next.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of 2 national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tiger Town to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Everyone knows nothing goes better with football than Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca remain your reliable source for game day food. Get your trays, nuggets, minis, strips, and more. Herb, class of 82, and Carol, class of 84, know the importance of football and great food, so get on the Chick-fil-A app or call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 864-886-9080 to make sure you're all set to eat what you love during the big game.
A fan favorite for almost 4 decades, Tigertown Graphics has been designing and printing t-shirts in downtown Clemson since 1988. Looking for a vintage vibe with a modern twist? Check out our latest collection of classic styles and current concepts. Find us at 360 College Avenue or shop online anytime at tigertowngraphics.com. For 37 years, it's where Tigers get their stripes.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from AMPM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to AMPM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Good plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports, all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper,
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News,
and Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories,
just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Huge savings on Dell AI PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors are here, and they're newly designed to help you do more faster. They can generate code, edit images, multitask without lag, draft emails, summarize documents, create live translations, and even extend your battery life. That's the power of Dell AI with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Life doesn't wait, and neither should you. Aleve can help you deal with pain less throughout your day. Whether it's a long day on your feet, a demanding workout, or everyday aches and pains, you need relief that can keep up when pain persists. Aleve is here for you with longer-lasting body pain relief compared to leading OTC-branded pain relievers. With just one pill, Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches hold you back from doing what's important to you. Use as directed.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Ingles, low prices, love the savings. I told you, I went to Ingles yesterday. I got my assortment of random items, and I saved like $15 on that bad boy. Two bags, $15. I went to get one thing of coffee, Ben. I got two kinds of coffee that I've never tried before because I thought the deals were that absurd. And I don't usually do that. Normally, I'm pretty hesitant to go way out of left field for a purchase, but it was too good to be true. It was like a bag of coffee, it was like ordinarily $13.50, and it was like $7. Of course, I'm gonna do that. Of course, I'm gonna do. And like I said, I couldn't figure out which kind to get, so I got two. Got my shower unclogged. That was great. clean my toilets. That was great. All thanks to Ingles. You eat salad at Ingles, I clean my toilets. Low prices, love the savings. Mm. Great stuff at your local Ingles.
What an endorsement.
Save on gas, too. Save on gas, too.
You know, a couple of texters making really good points.
I don't. That was the worst. Ingles didn't ask for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well. A couple of texters making really good points about the one play away discussion, and Tommy Bowden ruined that for us. That, I mean, let's be honest, that's where it comes, it goes back to. And a couple of texters pointing out Tommy Bowden came from an angle of that being an excuse. And, you know, because he felt the pressure. He was desperate. And that was always his excuse. I don't think Dabo Swinney comes from it as an excuse, more from the optimistic side. And then as a good friend of the show points out, you know, he also comes from it from the angle of experience. When in 2016, he was one play away seven times. And that one play went his way six of the seven times.
Yeah.
So in his mind, that's what he's thinking about. That's not the angle Tommy Bowden came from.
That also, I think if you're any coach, you are telling the players on your team, it's exactly the question that you asked Walker Parks. You are telling the players on your team, if you had focused one more play, we could have won. Mm-hmm. The difference between winning and losing is your level of focus and execution on this one play. So just fix that one and we win. And if you tell that to all your players, you're thinking that you're going to get, you know, one play better across the board or what have you. I think that is a mindset that coaches have to stay in. That it doesn't matter what the sport is, that coaches have to stay in that mindset of like, hey, if you just do your job on this one play, we might have won. Or in some cases, if you just done your job on this one play, we would have won. Let's go to Gamecock James, who's up with us next. What's up, James?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for getting in.
Yeah, I was wanting to talk about the Gamecocks and the way they're playing. I know a lot of people have been calling up and kind of laughing and saying we're going to be 4-8, which I don't think I think the guy that called this morning was a Clemson fan, I'm not sure, but they're talking about 4-8 and how bad Sellers were playing and all this kind of stuff. Well, I think they need to be worried about their own self instead of laughing at somebody else. And they may go 4-8. Who knows? But if you remember last year, they were 3-3, I believe. And I made the comment that this team has a chance to be 6 or 9-3. And everybody thought I was crazy. And Jason from Columbia, even he did. But he called back after the end of the season and congratulated me and said, boy, I hit it right on the head. And you never know. It's still early and you just don't know. But, you know, I just think people ought to just calm down and just see what's going to happen. It's going to depend on how much Sellers plays, I think, because we're not going to win with Luke Doty. There's just no way. So, anyway, I just think they ought to remember LSU last year when we thought we were going to get creamed, and we should have beat them. And that's when the turnaround started right there. So you never know. That's all I'm saying. Just hang in there.
Listen, I hear you, James. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I don't disagree with that. Just because the I think the nature of college football right now is to be freak out about the results, and the negative results are not as few and far between as they used to be. I think particularly when you have expectations, when there's a little desperation behind those expectations, like there is at South Carolina. I think, you know, you're trying to have a special season, and you can't have things get in the way. I understand that. I mean, I don't think it's that much to ask. I know how different coaches have played it. I know Shane Beamer said slow starting teams. I don't think it's that much to ask that a team just look impressive once in the first 3 weeks. You know, if you looked impressive once in the first 3 weeks and you were lousy the other two, you could say, you know what, we're figuring it out. We're trying to figure it out. I think, honestly, personally, I think that's the frustration that Clemson fans have. That's a frustration that I have, William Quackenbush personally, is that when I ask myself, when is the last time that you left the game and you sat down and did the fifth quarter show and you were impressed with Clemson? And it has been a long time since I sat down and I thought, you know what, I don't really have a lot of negative to say about this game. I don't have a lot of negative things that set up. And I'm not even talking about – look, Clemson is at a spot now where it is almost impossible to exceed expectations. I'm not even talking about exceed expectations. I'm talking about when is the last time that you sat down after a game and you thought, you know what, that's a football team. And I hesitate to say this word because I think even Dabo would quibble with this, but that is a football team that I'm proud of. I'm proud of that football team. You know what? Georgia Tech on Saturday, they're proud of their football team. I think LSU, they were proud of their football team. They're proud of the way that they won those games. When, you know what? You could say, honestly, maybe Clemson in the ACC championship game. The way that went, you're more stunned than proud. I'll say that. Like, the first instinct is to be stunned. But I'm talking about you look through four quarters of football and you said, you know what, that football team, that's a football team that I'm proud to be associated with. I'm proud to tell people that I'm a fan of that team. It's been a while. And again, some of that is the expectations game where it's hard to do that. At South Carolina, that's your five-alarm fire right there, is that I don't think you necessarily have felt proud of your football team yet this year, and you expected to once in the first three games, even a slow start. Look, that LSU game that James is talking about, you know what happened at the end of that game? South Carolina fans were proud of their football team. They were proud. They could say at the end of that LSU game, even though they lost the game, they could say, you know what, the level of performance that we showed, the level of grit and toughness that we showed, yeah, it wasn't perfect, but I'm proud. I'm proud of that team. And I think that's what people want to see. And I think that's what people want to hear. People want to be able to say that at the end of these games. And like I said before, Texas is feeling the same way. They've not been able to say that. They're like, you know what? That was an impressive win. That was an impressive performance right there. Relative to competition and circumstance, that was an impressive performance. Let's go to Ted in Pendleton, who joins us next. What's up, Ted?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for getting in.
I don't understand why every time us Clemson fans want to talk about how bad Clemson doing, expectations are low, that Dabo said, to me, it seems like Dabo's thinking we're bad fans because we want more than what we're getting out of Clemson. I mean, like, we should be set back and accept the 1-2 or 5-5, or what? I don't understand why we had to sit back and
accept
it instead of wanting more out of
Clemson. Now, see, and I appreciate that sentiment, and I appreciate the phone call. This is what I think Dabo's saying, Ted. Okay, I don't think Dabo's saying, fans, if you don't like 1-2, well, you're about to get it good and hard. You know, I don't think that's what Dabo's saying, or the fans should be grateful for 1-2. In fact, he mentioned after the Troy game that he was booing with the fans because they stunk. And he said it now about three or four times so far this season that he appreciates that he's at a place where people care. He's not asking fans to care less or lower expectations. I do think he is asking for trust. And he's asking for faith that they can figure it out. And whether you give it to him or not is up to you. But I think that's ultimately – I don't think he's asking fans to lower expectations because 1-2 is okay. I don't think he's saying – in fact, I think he's saying the opposite of that. Ben, maybe I heard it differently or maybe I heard it wrong. I just think he's saying we're going to fix it. And today he went over all the different times that they fixed it, and they came out as with relatively successful seasons.
Yeah, and there is a difference. Is he talking to the fan that's not happy with the product on the field right now, or was he talking to the fan that might be wanting people fired? Two different things.
Yeah,
and I don't know, but I also agree with Ted that it is completely acceptable, in my opinion, for fans to want more, and when it doesn't look right, to point that out. I got no problem with that.
A couple more things from Dabo's press conference before we wrap up with some other stuff. The story he told about Eddie Robinson, it's rare that Dabo just like comes out with a story I never heard. I never heard the story about Eddie Robinson walks in his office, he's a GA at Alabama, and just sits down and wants to talk to him, and he still has the notes from the day. I mean,
I know, I was going, the Eddie Robinson?
Yeah, like
that Eddie Robinson.
And he said, when it's bad, don't read nothing. And he did a little half impression of him. I thought that was pretty good. He also said, I don't even remember what question precipitated this, but he said, none of us have done a good job at this point. And there is, I said this on Saturday, there is an accountability there that he is shouldering some of this, but it for sure is not all on him. There's a there's an old How I Met Your Mother chain of screaming going on where the assistants are feeling it. And I think Dabo is feeling it. And like I say, when the boss is feeling that, then everybody else is feeling it too. And I, you know, when he's saying stuff like that, I think people can rest assured that he is not putting his head in the sand. He's not pretending everything's hunky-dory. And he's not, let me be clear about this, but to what Ted said, Dabo is not mad that fans are dissatisfied with 1-2. That's not what he's saying. That might be what he's communicating at times by the way he says certain things, but when you look at the totality of his statements, that's not how he feels. That's not what he's saying. So I did want to say it's a fair question, I think, but I don't think that Dabo is telling people to, you know, if you don't like 1-2, then you're an idiot. I don't think that's true at all. Before we take our next break and set up our final segment, let me tell you about Grass Nerds. GrassNerds.com, boys and girls. My lawn is great. My lawn is satisfactory. I'm good with my lawn. Listen, Grass Nerds could do that for you. Grass Nerds absolutely unequivocally knows how to get the best for your lawn, whatever it is that your lawn needs, period, end of discussion. They do a soil sample analysis before they treat your yard to make sure that what they're doing is something that your soil will accept and allow your lawn to thrive. That's what sets the Grass Nerds apart. They go to their website, grassnerds.com. You can see all the plans. You can see the extra credit, the things you can add there. Ultimately, what you're getting is you're getting local folks who care about local lawns and making sure you have the best experience possible with your lawn. Grassnerds.com. Go to grassnerds.com. Stay with us. Final segment of the program. We got some odds and ends to tie up when we return to a Tiger Tuesday after this.
It's here. The brand new 2025 Tigers for Tatas shirt is now available for pre-sale. Every purchase helps support the All In Foundation in the fight against cancer. But we need your help. To make this year's auction our biggest ever, we're asking for high-end item donations. Do you have a vacation rental, a unique experience, or valuable merchandise you'd like to donate? Your contribution is 100% tax deductible. Get your new gear and learn more at theroarfm.com. Tigers for Tatas, the All In Foundation, and you. Together, we can make a difference.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local lodge.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ElkMont TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
You can feel it in the air. Football is back, and the best place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog. It is one of my favorite ways to enjoy a night of sports. Just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, interceptions, things like that. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your money, and you only need $1. To play. That's it. As little as a dollar. It's that simple. I love playing Underdog with baseball. I love it with basketball. Football? Man, football is the best. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be new? Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Sometimes it's the little victories that mean the most. Those everyday celebrations that bring a smile to our faces and joy to our hearts. at Ingles. We know there's no one you'd rather share those miniature, memorable moments with than family. Ingles, all the ingredients for family.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Lennox in the air means money in your pocket. Turn to Heavenly Air of the Upstate LLC for special offers happening today that will put high-quality Lennox air in your home and savings back in your pocket. For a limited time, they're offering up to $1,800 in rebates on a brand-new Lennox system. Or qualified buyers make no payments, incur no interest for 12 months when financing a new Lennox system. Plus, receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Visit heavenlyaire.com today. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number RHB587.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, working with Snyder Tree Care, it's not a hard proposition.
We want to make sure you know that we are here to serve you, to care for your need, and to do things extraordinarily well. I would put my guys up against anybody in this nation. I mean, we are that well trained. Not that we're arrogant. We just work really, really hard at training and taking good care of our clients. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Tuning in from the car?
What's that for the touchdown?
Stay connected to the Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download the Roar app on your phone by searching WCCPFM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
All right, just some random stuff we got to do here on a Tiger Tuesday, our final segment of the show. We appreciate Sam Jones back in the Upcountry Fiber Studios running the board for us and making us sound good back there. This hour brought to you by our friends at PhD Weight Loss. If you want to lose 20 pounds by the new year, that might seem like a little iffy because you're like, well, I only got 3.5 months to do and that's not before. Can I tell you something? I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks with PhD Weight Loss. Weeks. That means between now and, if you're on my pace, between now and Halloween, you're dropping 24 pounds. You can do this. And PhD Weight Loss can help you. No matter where you are in life, what stage you are in life, if weight loss has been a challenge for you, if you've been thinking about it for a long time, I can assure you that their metabolic reset system that's science-based, that gets your body to burn fat first, not sugar, that it works, and it's sustainable. This is like 5 years later for me, and I am rolling right along, doing great, put years back on my life, saved me from thousands of dollars in doctor's bills later on with the track that I was on without starving or endless workouts or risky drugs. And for radio listeners only, they're sweetening the deal for you. They're going to waive your consultation fee, get 2 extra weeks of the program for free, and they'll even cover the cost of your food during the program. And you'll receive their 5 steps to reset the scale book absolutely free, which is super helpful. Don't wait, though. This guarantee and a bonus package is only for the next 25 callers. Call now and mention code New Year when you call 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900, code New Year. PhD Weight Loss. Reset your metabolism. Lose the weight. Keep it off. I see, Ben Milstead, you've got the old Braves Nationals on right now.
I'm a glutton for punishment. Why not?
They're winning today.
Yeah,
strong performance there by the old ball team.
5-2, bottom of the seventh here.
Our Reds beat the Cardinals last night.
Our Reds,
which is nice, 2 games back. I don't even. This is going to make you not want to say our Reds anymore. I'm going to tell you anyway because I like honesty, Ben. Big honesty guy. Reds, according to Fangraphs, have a 7.5% chance to make the playoffs. 7.5. The good news is the Diamondbacks are only at 7.8 and the Giants are at 5. So the Reds have just as good a chance as any non-Mets team out there in the National League. Two games back of New York. And tonight, feel pretty good about the matchup. Got a little Andrew Abbott versus Michael McGreevy. Honestly, should win that. Don't see any reason why not. Padres at the Mets. Michael King against Clay Holmes tonight. Holmes has been, they may use Holmes short and go with Sean Manaea. I've seen a little of that speculation. So I don't feel great about that. In our picks contest last week, we haven't gotten into all the games. Mostly because a lot of L's, a lot of red, bloodstained spreadsheet. What is your deepest, most abiding regret before we go back to the phones? From our contest last week. What's the one that you're like, God, you know what? Some of these were bad luck, but I should have seen that one coming.
There's so many. Oh, there's so many to choose from. Probably Ole Miss, Arkansas. Mm. Probably Ole Miss, Arkansas, because everything in me said Arkansas is going to cover here, and I went Ole Miss, and like, why are you putting so much confidence in Ole Miss? I don't know. That I'm ashamed of that pick.
You know why, Ben? You know why you did that? Because the Ferris State quarterback threw for 7,928 yards in that game. The Ferris State transfer from Division II, literally never played Division I football, gets into an SEC game against Arkansas and is absolutely throwing it around the yard like he's done his whole life. That's why. Lane Kiffin's ability to get whatever he needs from the quarterback is mind-boggling.
Yeah, I missed Georgia. I really thought Georgia was going to win by a touchdown. I thought Notre Dame was going to win by a touchdown. I thought South Carolina was going to win. So I really don't regret those picks. I mean, I regret that they're wrong, obviously.
The one that we got wrong that I absolutely do not regret, well, Georgia and Pittsburgh, we both missed those. I don't regret watching West Virginia lose to Ohio on the road and going, ain't no way. You're not winning.
See, I'm the same way.
Georgia, Tennessee. Georgia almost covered in overtime what the actual, like, the game time spread was. I thought even at 7. For sure at 3.5, but I thought even at 7 that Georgia was going to be covering that, and it's to Tennessee's credit that they did not. Notre Dame, Texas A&M, I really thought it would be about a touchdown. Like, I thought that line was pretty good. I would have had no part of that, but I had to pick somebody, and I watched Texas A&M give up points and yards to Utah State and UTSA, and I'm thinking, well, Notre Dame's going to move it. Did not factor in that Notre Dame does not have Al Golden as their DC anymore. By the way, you know, I thought about this. Chris Ash has not been a good defensive coordinator in college football, like national-level coordinator in college football in like a decade, since he was at Ohio State with Urban Meyer and then went to be the head coach at Rutgers. It's possible that Notre Dame immediately goes off the rails defensively and has to make an immediate re-change at defensive coordinator. Because Marcus Freeman ain't going to give up 40. I'll just go ahead and take it out right now. That guy ain't giving up 40 points on defense. That's dreadful. Like, Texas A&M's got some dudes. They got some athletes, Bussey and Concepcion. Like, those are freaking athletes. There is no reason that Notre Dame should give up 40 points in a home game.
No, you're right about that.
I mean, to literally anybody. I can't see that. You know the one that brought me joy? The one that brought me joy that I was sort of like on a hunch was Miami. And I can't tell you why that brought me joy, because I really, like, in my heart of hearts, I would have been fine with USF winning. But Miami doing what it was supposed to do, and just the knowledge that I nailed the scenario, I nailed the circumstance, I nailed the lines of scrimmage battle, like, I just nailed those two. I feel like I've got those two teams right now. I know who they are. I know who they're not. I can't tell you why. This brings me so much joy. Like, I feel like I perfectly handicapped who USF was and was not, and who Miami was and was not. And I'm not sure that I felt that that specifically about any game so far this year. That I felt good. And USF's going to win a lot of games. Miami's line to scrimmage, though, buddy. USF was no match for Miami's line to scrimmage.
Where are we on Alabama?
Alabama's good enough to dominate a 5-7 Big Ten team. That's where we are. I think Wisconsin stinks.
I agree with you.
That's where we are on Alabama is Wisconsin stinks.
UL Monroe also stinks.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't take anything away from that. The loss at Tallahassee, though, is looking better and better.
It is. You know where I'm at on Alabama? Like I have,
and this week is the test, or next week rather. They're off this week, but the next game for Alabama at Georgia. That's a big one. I mean, that's a really big one.
All of these quarterbacks, and in fact, I want to spend some time tomorrow talking about some of the quarterbacks and some of the underperformance that we've seen across the board, and some of the quarterbacks who have really impressed. I think Ty Simpson has been phenomenal. And I credit him. I credit Ryan Grubb for that. This guy, so far this year, second in the SEC in yards per attempt, first in quarterback rating. He's completing 72% of his passes, and he's throwing it down the field. 9 touchdowns, no interceptions right now for Ty Simpson. Ryan Williams not even their leading receiver. It's Jeremy Bernard, who's got 15 for 275. They've got 300-yard receivers through 3 games. They're spreading the ball out pretty good. I think I said this. The reason that I was a little more bullish on Alabama was that I trust in Ryan Grubb to run the type of offense that Kalen DeBoer can win with, and I think we're kind of seeing that because Ty Simpson looks way better than we would have thought, way better than a lot of the so-called Heisman contenders that we were talking about for months in the preseason.
I do think now. 8-4 is kind of where I thought 8-4, 9-3 is sort of where I thought Alabama was going to be. I still think 8-4 is completely on the table for them.
Sure.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. But some of these fringe games, like at South Carolina or at Missouri, maybe the 50-50 games, I think I'm leaning more Alabama now than I was preseason. So,
I still think their lines of scrimmage are overrated. I never have thought that they were the best. Like, I heard a lot of people saying best line of scrimmage in the country. Never thought that. But I do like, if you give me that passing game with Bernard and Williams and Grubb running it, then I've got a track record that I can lean on with that. Tim Bray, by the way, texts me, and he says, Freeman said at the press conference he's going to be more involved in the defense starting this week. Oh, man. We're 2 games in with Notre Dame, and Marcus Freeman is more involved in the defense.
And see, I don't feel – I'm not throwing in the towel on Notre Dame, though. I'm really not.
I'm not either. They should be favored in 9 of the last 10 games, at least.
I mean, losing at home, my opinion, Notre Dame just should not lose at home. I mean, you don't lose there. But actually, to me, it's more about the 2 teams that have beaten them. I mean, Miami and now Texas A&M both appear to be very good teams.
Hasn't C.J. Carr played well?
And you could talk about one play away. I mean, they've come down to one play there.
Literally an extra point.
Yeah.
Just hold on the extra point. All right, let me tell you about Toyota of Easley. Go online, toyotaofeasley.com. Go and see the great selection of vehicles that they have for you. You can get a new, you can get a pre-owned. You can start the process online, toyotaofeasley.com. Service department there as well. Ryan and the good folks there, decades of experience. Just absolutely knocking everybody's socks off. With the way that they treat people in Easley. Go on by and see them, Toyota of Easley, Highway 123 or on toyotaofeasley.com. That's Toyota of Easley, where their name means a great deal.
Have I quietly become a Notre Dame fan?
I mean, it sure sounds like it. I don't know. That green face paint you're wearing certainly gives it away.
The little leprechaun on my shirt. I don't know.
Did you see the Texas A&M players, by the way, doing like Irish jigs in the end zone when they won?
I don't care to see anything from Texas trying to do an Irish jig.
I got to be honest. It was pretty impressive. I was like, man, they practiced that. They did. You know, that was not just spur-of-the-moment stuff.
I would say it's embarrassing for anyone to try to do that.
By the way, speaking of that, we got a minute left in the show. After the press conference was over, Dabo's walking out. And I caught a stray from Dabo for my hat.
What was that all about?
For Tata's Roar hats. Like, we raised a lot of money with it, Dabo. Like, it's the khaki one with the white in the back. The white mesh. And Dabo goes, you know, Walker Parr. Walker Parr's walking in. He goes, Walker Parr's got Walker Parr's back. Might get Antonio back. We'll see. That, I guess, was off the record, but now it's on the record. And then he goes,
day to day.
And then he goes, hey, a lot of good, except Quark's hat. That's not good. And he rolls out. And I'm like, whoa. I asked a good question in the press conference today. I just sat quietly.
You actually asked a question about Syracuse.
I did. I was like, one of like two people.
One of one there.
Syracuse today.
I make fun of your wardrobe quite often, and it's all in love.
My wife approved this. There's a lot of days you can't see that.
That's just Coach. But, yeah, you caught a little stray there.
I did. You know what? I appreciate that Dabo Swinney, we have the relationship that he feels like he can ding me for my hat, and I'm going to take it. And so I appreciate that. All right, thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to Walker Parks and Will Hull for stopping by, and Dabo and Tom Allen, the folks at Clemson, for having us. Ross Taylor and Brian Hennessy. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Walt is up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
When you wake up well